Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you form a more complete connection to yourself and every aspect of your life. If you have thoughts, questions, and ideas, you can use the link in the show notes below to send them in. Let me know how I can help. Today, I want to give a big shout out to our listeners in Waterford, Virginia. Beautiful little, very historic town in Northern Virginia. Very cool. If you have not been there, I suggest you check it out. Thank you for this connection out there in Waterford. I'm so glad that you tuned in. So today we're going to be talking about being forgotten, something that a lot of people are afraid of. But I'm here to tell you, in my opinion, this is death's gift to the departed. And let me explain, because this bears some explanation. Most people, when they get to a certain stage of their life, and I'm certainly no exception, they tend to work on their legacy. They want to work on what they will be remembered for. And this is a very natural thing, human thing to do. But we have to remember that we'll be forgotten, and this is a wonderful, wonderful gift, is what I'm saying. So let's get into it. So yourself and your existence on this planet are ultimately short and ephemeral. We know that. With the exception of a rare few individuals, we will all be forgotten. And will be forgotten in relatively short order. And yeah, there's the exceptions to the rule, right? There are rare few people who were either so wonderful or so horrible that they are not forgotten as quickly. But they will ultimately be forgotten at some point. And we tend to really fight against this. We strive to leave a legacy. We want something to be remembered by, as if being forgotten is a fate worse than death. But to be forgotten is death's gift. When you pass from this physical existence, your history will be written by everyone but you. Those whom you have wronged will remember you as an asshole. And those whom you have helped will remember you as kind and wonderful and amazing. And those who see your truth will remember you as human. At times strong and kind, and at times weak and ultimately flawed. Full of mistakes and lessons and regrets, and if you're fortunate, accomplishments. You will have no say, because you'll be dead. You have no say, as the sum total of your temporary existence on this earth is read aloud like an accountant's ledger. Generations will pass as smaller and smaller parts of this crowdsourced legacy are recalled and recounted from parent to child over the generations. And even so close as your great-grandchildren will scarcely know anything about you except perhaps one overarching trait and maybe how you died. But within just those three generations, you've been reduced to not one accomplishment, but one personality trait and maybe a closing sentence. By four generations on, your great-great-grandchildren will not know you at all. So let's dig into this. Where do I get this? Why do I say this? Think about it for yourself. What do you know about your parents? What do you really know about your parents? You may know their personality flaws. You may know their strengths. You may know some skill sets that they have or that they don't have. you may know a little bit about their regrets or what was left undone for them. You probably know what diseases they have, and you'll certainly pay attention to what causes their death. This is what a person generally keeps track of about their parents. That's not much. That's probably less than 5% of what there is to know about them. And I'm not saying you should go out and seek the other 95%. I'm just saying, let's be realistic. You don't really know them that well. Why? Because you're not them. And you weren't there. And you didn't go through what they went through. So now let's talk about what do you tend to keep track of about your grandparents. What do you know about your grandparents? You probably know one or two major personality traits. You probably know one or two interesting facts about their timeline. You probably know how they spent their retirement years, cause of death, and a really long list of what you used to do together. This is the big thing that you remember about grandparents, don't you? All the cool stuff you used to do, and sometimes they're not cool stuff. So notice how we know less now. One or two major personality traits, one or two interesting facts about their timeline, how they spent their retirement years, how they died, and what you used to do together. Now think about your great-grandparents. What do you know about them? If you met them. Most people are not fortunate enough to ever meet their great-grandparents. But if you were fortunate enough to have met them, what do you know about them? I'll bet you know only two things. I'll bet you know one major personality trait and their cause of death. Even if you did meet them, I'll bet that's what you know. One major personality trait and the cause of death. If you never met them, you probably don't even know the cause of death. You probably know one major personality trait, and that's it. Now think about your great-great-grandparents. Can you even name them? What do you know about your great-great-grandparents and beyond? Nothing. Now, for a rare few, perhaps there's a family legend, you know, that some people are just sort of famous within the family and you hear about them growing up. And a legend is what you get. It's carved and curated over time to the point of questionable truth. It's a story, maybe. You don't know them at all. They have been effectively forgotten. So ultimately, for 99.999% of us, only those who had direct contact with you will have any recollection of you at all. And what's remembered is filtered through the lens of that interaction. It's not a true picture, it's not a whole picture, but it's some projection of a small portion of your surface self, your public self. Now, the self is not real. The public self is not real, and we come to realize that the internal self is not real either. So it's a relief and a gift that the self and its varied interpretations by others can be forgotten within some decades. Let them go. Let them be as free as the energy. We hold on to something that does not even exist, these selves. We cling to the selves of past generations as much as we cling to our own. And we defend them because we've incorporated them into our identities. And we're unable and certainly often unwilling to even alter our perspective on them. Have you ever found a fact in your genealogy or in your DNA that counteracts a bit of your family timeline. Those are good times. Note the reactions of older generations who quickly rush to defend the family legacy. The younger folks in the family tend to be a bit more open. But the older we get, the more we tend to solidify these, our ancestors, into our identity. We all want to be remembered because we're afraid of death and we're afraid that maybe we didn't matter. The reality, however, is that you did matter to someone somewhere while you were here, and death is nothing to fear. Meanwhile, I'm sorry, nobody will be visiting your grave. People move on with their lives, and generations are consumed with their own journey. And why would you want to put that on somebody anyway? Oh, no, you have to come visit me even when I'm dead. Don't do that. Suppose you were presented with a full page of information on someone long since gone. You know, a Wikipedia for your ancestors. Maybe a family member you never got to meet. Let's suppose you were presented with a full page of information about them. And maybe you're really into genealogy, so you read it, you love it, you devour it. You will likely not carry forward more than one or two interesting facts if those facts have a connection to your own journey. You may tell one or two people about these facts and how it relates to you, and those people will nod politely and forget the whole thing. The point is that you will be forgotten. And that is a really, really good thing. Let go of the self and do it while you're still alive. Encourage your children and grandchildren to let go of your self too after you're gone. Dissolve into the universe as it was meant to be and be gone from this life and on to the next. Or onto heaven, onto nirvana, as the case may be. When your time comes, don't do it early. This is the gift that should make us take a few more risks in life. Try a few more things. It's the ephemeral nature of life that makes it so precious. And it's the forgetful nature of death that should make us willing to not worry so much and try a few more things. It's the ultimate Las Vegas. Whatever you do here will be forgotten. You may impact those around you right now, but ultimately will be forgotten. So do what you want. What's the harm then in experimenting and trying what you like? And letting go of the self. It's kind of like a cosmic no consequences. You'd have to be truly horrific to be remembered for very long, or truly amazingly wonderful. Most of us are somewhere in between. I want this idea not to be depressing, but to be freeing. I want this to be the best news you've gotten all week. We will all, me and you, be forgotten. So let's try some really outlandish stuff in the name of improving the conditions for the people around us. Is there something crazy you've always wanted to try that you think would really help humanity? Give it a go. Maybe it will. Maybe you'll be part of that 1/1000th of a percent that's remembered for longer than a few generations. But maybe we should be more focused on helping everybody right now. Maybe we should be a little more focused on what we can do right now. instead of being focused on our fear of the uncertainty of what comes after. I hope this can liberate you. Send in your thoughts and ideas. Click the link down in the show notes right here. I will take you to the community page on the website and let me know your questions and thoughts. If you want to remain anonymous, I'll be happy to make sure that you do. That's enough for today. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. And as always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.